In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of the highlights to any pilgrimage to the Holy Land, that incredibly unique piece of land where God literally walked on the earth. One highlight is a visit to the banks of the Jordan River, to the very spot where Jesus was baptized by John. Here, at this spot, the pilgrim has the opportunity to renew his or her baptismal promises. It is an exceptionally memorable and spiritual experience, at least for me. It is an important reminder about not merely who we are called to be, it is a reminder of who we are called to be, but even more, who we are as baptized Christians. For most of us, our baptism was a one-time thing. It happened when we were little, but we have mostly forgotten about it. Maybe you have a few pictures of it when you were dressed up in something you would never wear if you were a little bit older. You might have even heard stories of how you behaved on that day. I will never forget one in my first year of priesthood, and he screamed the entire time like bloody murder. So, but he grew up, he's 20 years old now, and he did fine, and grew up just fine. Now we say things like, I was baptized, instead of, I am baptized. There's a difference there, think about that. In our minds, our baptism is something that happened once, rather than a pivotal event that defines us in the present and has transformed us for eternity. Do you know the date of your baptism? If you don't, go find out, look it up, and then go buy yourself a little gift on that day, since it is your second and more important birthday. Or you can tell your husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, or significant other to go do that for you. But first, think about the major gift is what God did to your soul through baptism. It has changed forever. Let's look briefly at Jesus' baptism in the gospel today. Jesus Christ, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, had no need for baptism. Baptism forgives sin, and Jesus has no sin. But he plunges into the waters of baptism first for us, in order to make the waters of our baptism in his name holy. Jesus humbles himself once again in order to show us the way. Always humility. Baptism is the very first of the seven sacraments. It's not the greatest, the Eucharist is the greatest, but you can't have it until you have number one, the doorway to the other six, baptism. Think of it like a spiritual surgery that God the surgeon performs to repair everything that was broken in our souls because of original sin. And then with the help of the other sacraments, God can lead us through a program of, if you will, spiritual rehab, a spiritual rehabilitation, and making us into these elite athletes of Christ, excelling in wisdom and virtue. In other words, to make us saints, to make us holy, to make us a light for nations and salt of the earth. One amazing thing about baptism is, and listen to this, it elevates us from being merely part of God's creation to becoming God's true adopted children. Part of God's creation, like a tree or a cat or a dog, they're wonderful and they proclaim God in some way. But we are elevated from being part of that to actually being his son and daughter. We can now share his divine nature. Now, a friend of mine would say, that blows your mind, right? It's mind-blowing if you allow yourself to think about it. Divine nature, which is eternity, is allowed to be shared by us. Baptism is not just a pretty ritual or a nice symbol. Your soul is changed forever. We call it an indelible mark. It can never be erased. On the day of your baptism, you actually became a true child of God and a member of Christ's body. We also, through baptism, St. Paul tells us, become a temple of God, a place of worship. That's what a temple is. Through it, the most holy Trinity, in a mysterious way we can't fully understand, but the most holy Trinity actually comes to dwell within each of us after we've been baptized. And he will remain as long as we don't commit a mortal sin. Recall that a mortal sin is where, with full knowledge of the consequences and with total freedom, we choose to separate ourselves from God's grace. It's a perfect choice. But God is so merciful and wonderful that even if we do commit a mortal sin and we are truly sorry, he gave us confession, and it will allow God to completely restore our soul to its baptismal splendor. When you walk out of a confessional, it's like the day you were baptized. It's a beautiful thing to recollect, to think about. Your body becomes a temple of God. So take care of God's temple. Let us always treat our temples of God with respect and the reverence that is due to them. Now here, some of you might object and truthfully say, well, I did not ask to be baptized. This was something done to me. Okay, true. You are correct. You did not choose baptism. You were chosen to be baptized. Think back to grade school. I know a lot of us would prefer not to, but think back to grade school. Remember how good it felt on the playground at recess when the team captain chose you for the team, right? And didn't leave you to be the last, well, I guess I'll take so-and-so. No, but chose you. Jesus is our team captain, and he chose you for his team. He chose you for baptism. In St. John's Gospel, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, says, the Father chose us in Jesus before the world began to be holy and without blemish before him. In love, he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ. You were chosen for this gift. You are special to God. He wanted you as his beloved son or daughter. So use this tremendous soul-changing grace of your baptism to develop a deep and personal friendship with God throughout your life. It is the only way we will be able to discover and fulfill our life's mission, because baptism is not the end. Baptism is a great miraculous gift, and at the same time, it is a great responsibility. We've been chosen to do as well. It is the beginning of a lifelong adventure of following Jesus Christ through this earthly pilgrimage into the everlasting joys of heaven and helping bring other people with you. It is the only journey that can really satisfy the deep yearning of our hearts for meaning and happiness and purpose, because it is our Creator himself who invites us, and he knows what will make us happy, what will make our life meaningful and full of purpose. In a few moments, the same Jesus Christ will offer nourishment for this holy temple he has given, he has made, strength for this journey by feeding us with his own body, blood, soul, and divinity in the most holy Eucharist. When he does this, thank him for choosing you. He obviously sees something wonderful and important in you, and he has a plan for the talents that he has gifted you with. I'll just leave you with a little meditation from St. Leo the Great from the 400s. Christian, recognize your dignity, and now that you share in God's own nature, do not return to your former base condition by sinning. Remember who is your head and of whose body you are a member. Never forget that you have been rescued from the power of darkness and brought into the light of the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.